In fact, the numbers were a little bit stronger than we expected. We were looking for a 0.7% increase, and it turned out to be 0.8%. So that's a good bounce back. And it also comes on the back of very weak growth in the March quarter, which was impacted by Cyclone Debbie. But I guess on an annual basis, the growth rate is still relatively subdued at 1.8%, which is a bit below our longer-term average.
So if it's just a little bit higher than what you were expecting, why do you think a lot of analysts were pitting that quarterly growth and that full-year growth would be a little bit higher?
I guess the numbers for GDP sort of tend to bounce around a little bit. If you go back a week ago, most economists were looking for an increase near 0.5%, and of course it turned out to be a little bit stronger than that. And then as the week goes by, you get more and more data that will feed into the final GDP outcome, figures for construction activity, business investment, public demand, trade. At the end of the day, the GDP numbers in Australia can tend to bounce around a bit from quarter to quarter. A year ago, we actually saw the economy go backwards, albeit just for one quarter, before then rebounding again. So you do get this quarterly volatility, but I guess the key message is that the Aussie economy is still growing. We haven't had the recession that many people had feared would envelope the economy once the mining boom collapsed.
0.8%, though, in all seriousness, I think you would agree, in comparison to the rest of the world economy, is not as impressive, and wage outlook is still weak. Yet Mr. Morrison, yesterday presenting those numbers, was actually quite upbeat. What do you think has him so excited about what he wants to call a strong set of numbers?
I think the Treasurer was excited because growth did bounce back. Growth does seem to be on track so far anyway with the government's economic forecasts, which see growth heading back towards the 3% level. So whereas 3 months ago, there was a degree of nervousness around given the weakness we saw in the March quarter. So I think that's what's got the Treasurer excited. And I guess it's also often the case that the government tends to take a glass half full, more optimistic approach to things because it wants to try and talk the economy up a little bit as well. It certainly doesn't want to talk it down. But at the end of the day, if you drill beneath the numbers, they're not quite as fantastic as the headline would suggest. You know, consumer spending was fairly solid, but that is being supported by a rundown in saving. Yes, interest rates are low. Yes, house prices in Sydney and Melbourne have gone up, and that makes people feel a little bit wealthier. But against that, wages growth is at record lows. A lot of Australians are starting to fret that maybe they've got too much debt. So that's acting as a bit of a constraint. And more recently, we're starting to see another round of big increases in utility costs, 20% odd increases for electricity.
Talking about that slow wage growth story, and yet people are spending more. Do you think in some meander possible that's related to the traditional household debt story that we have in this country, which is so high in comparison to the rest of the developed world?
Well, I guess the debt one's a bit of a conundrum that Australians, if you go back 25 years ago, at the time of the last recession, household debt in Australia was actually very low. Today, those figures are closer to, depending on how you cut it, the ratio has gone from the low end of comparable countries to the very high end. So we have taken a lot of debt. Now, on its own, that doesn't necessarily slow down consumer spending. We have had those high debt levels for a while now, and it doesn't necessarily mean that consumers will suddenly stop spending. But there does come a point, I think, where if people think that, I was happy to take on that debt 10 years ago, but now my house price is starting to flatten out or maybe decline, then the risk is that people might say, well, I've got too much debt, I have to reduce it. And, of course, we saw in America and other countries a few years ago at the time of the GFC that means periods of weak consumer spending.
Do you think that this result that's just come through yesterday also means that in order to live up to the high growth expectations we saw from the RBA governor on Tuesday, we will have to rely on many favourable conditions in the global economy?
I think it's true that if we get global economic conditions which are favourable, then that certainly helps us. I think at the moment we're somewhat, if the consumer is constrained, if housing construction's contribution to growth is starting to slow and potentially go backwards, we're also dependent on hopefully some pickup in non-mining investment coming through. And I think those things will probably play out in a favourable way, which is why I'm not in the recession camp and why I think growth will pick up a little bit from here. But I certainly don't think we're in an environment where growth's suddenly going to take off and we're going to have a boom. And I think I do think we'll struggle a little bit to get to the sort of the growth numbers that the Reserve Bank has been talking about, which is 3% or greater, to get that on a run of years, I think.
So you do share the same sentiment that the RBA has about 3% growth over the next financial year?
I think we'll head in that direction, but maybe not quite as strong as the Reserve Bank's talking about. I think the risks around the consumer are probably a little bit greater than the Reserve Bank is allowing for. And, you know, we're still seeing very low levels of consumer confidence. Wages growth is still very weak. There's not a lot of evidence that wages growth is going to pick up. I think the Reserve Bank is a bit more optimistic than I am on that front. Now, there will be a bit of a boost to wages growth starting in July from the increase in the minimum wage this year, which was increased by 3.3%. Previous years, it was closer to 2.3%. So you get a bit of a boost from that. But I don't think enough people are on the minimum wage to make a lasting difference to the overall wage figures. And we've seen in many countries around the world, even the US. US has just 4.4% unemployment at the moment, and yet their wages growth is only 2.5%. So we've seen right around the world many countries being surprised with the extent of the weakness in wages. And I think that will remain an issue in Australia for a while yet.
I want to very quickly come back to the story about the half-full approach that governments always have about our economy, particularly. Exports down 2%, particularly in mining, and the trade surplus has collapsed. With that in mind, and we saw Mr. Turnbull earlier this week announce mining tax incentives in WA, do you think that the Turnbull administration's economic priorities are potentially flawed in that sense? They're going after incentives for junior mines when mining exports are down, and they're after keeping a AAA credit rating, even though economic growth is probably as great a concern as the AAA credit rating.
I think it's a difficult one for the federal government at the moment. There's some charter with economic policy making in Australia in recent years. I think we did extremely well in the Hawke and Keating years and extremely well in the Howard and Costello years. You could argue with the details, but from an economic point of view, those governments got things done and they generally moved in the right direction. I'm not sure that that's a sector that needs much help, but yeah, I am a little bit unsure as to whether we're heading in the right direction from a policy point of view in Australia. That's not necessarily the government's fault. I mean, it just seems to be an issue of our parliament trying to get agreement on things. Seems to be a bit of a struggle these days.